Edge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast, Chris Graham and Rod Mullins. We're going to talk NASCAR. We're heading towards Homestead. This is going to be the dramatic finale for a great NASCAR season. And boy, we had a good way to get into our Final Four this past weekend in Phoenix. Some dramatic stuff going on. Rod, take us into it. And a couple guys working their way into the field for Homestead this coming weekend.
Well, it was one of those nail biters. I can't say it enough about watching this race. Some people might look at the race from this past weekend at Phoenix and say there wasn't that much excitement about it. I mean, you know, here you had the winner. You had Denny Hamlin who came in and won the race, of course. But who would have thought that Joey Logano shot at least getting into the Final Four, so to speak, would be dependent upon a mysterious adjustment that they did to the car after a half pound of air pressure was removed from some of the tires. Joey Logano's car could not compete. As a matter of fact, he got lapped. He was able to get back on the lead lap, but he still didn't have enough to be able to contend because the car just wouldn't go anywhere. Kevin Harvick said, even though he had already qualified along with Martin Truex, he said, we just didn't have anything for the rest of the field today. And then Ryan Blaney was Team Penske's really only chance of being able to make it into the Final Four. You know, he gets knocked out of it there late in the race by the way that he was running. And poor old Chase Elliott. Chase Elliott looking good there for a while, able to contend, and then just out of the clear blue, he's the only car, and he goes into the wall and totals his car, finishes it out for the day, and he's very disappointed. So there were a lot of surprises, but I think the big one was, of course, we knew Kyle Busch was going to make it in. He was pretty close there on points, but Denny Hamlin was the man with the plan. And so now, as the team has been saying here for the last little bit, starting yesterday, J.D., who was Joe Gibbs' son and passed away here in the last little bit, J.D. is now going to Homestead. He's going to have a chance to go to Homestead watching over Denny Hamlin and hopefully bring back a championship. They've got a 1-in-3 chance of being able to bring back a championship with either Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, or Martin Truex. And that leaves Kevin Harvick as the lone Ford out of that and also the Stewart Haas driver with his chance just to be able to pull out a championship. So it's going to be anybody's guess come Sunday at Homestead.
Talk about Denny Hamlin. He was on the other side of the cut line going into the race. And NASCAR.com is calling it one of the most clutch performances in playoff history, becoming just the second driver to enter Phoenix below the cut line and win his way into the title field. Can you talk about what Hamlin was able to do this weekend and getting himself into the field in Homestead?
Well, Hamlin, I think more than anything, Hamlin just played it calm. He was not in an upset way of trying to think of, you know, I've got to win to get into this thing. I mean, even though he did win, he was of the attitude that I'm going to get into this thing one way or the other, and I've just got to watch what I'm doing, pay attention, and then at least try to watch and see who else falls by the wayside. The thing that really almost cost Denny Hamlin a chance at winning this race and also getting in the championship, or at least the Final Four, was his restart. He had a horrible day of restarts up until the final restart right before the end of the race when that caution came out for debris on the track. And so when that happened, you know, that kind of changed everything. And then he came back into it, and he was able to restart really well. But, I mean, he just played it calm the entire day, and I think that was big for Denny Hamlin.
And so on the other side, Joey Logano, you talked about the mechanical issues, I guess, you know, we can call it that kept him on the other side. How frustrating does that have to be? It's one thing for a team if there's something that happens during the race in terms of driver error, maybe, you know, you get bumped or something like that. But for it to be something as simple as it seems from the way you described it, that's got to be pretty frustrating for that team.
Yeah, it was frustrating. And, you know, there's been speculation on this whole thing with Joey Logano as to what happened, that Todd Gordon, who was the crew chief, he had told NBCSports.com that he removed just a half a pound of air pressure from the right rear of the number 22 Ford. And, you know, he said he struggled to say that a half a pound of air pressure that they changed in one tire. One tire alone made that much of a difference. So the question was, if that was the case and they only took half a pound of pressure out, was it a bad set of tires? It could have been. Gordon's not speculating about anything right now. There was nothing in the tires that was coming off of the car that suggested that there was any kind of weird things taking place, wear-wise, pressure, anything of the buildup of rubber or blistering or anything. But, you know, he would really hesitate to say that it felt like it was a bad set of tires during the whole thing. But, you know, that's just one of those things. You take that chance and, you know, but they made a small adjustment on the car, and then from having it running so well and then going to being a lap down, it was a really depressing thing for Joey Logano. And he said, quote, "It sinks." He said, "We had the first half of the race. We did really well. We had a fast car, and then it went bad from there." He said, "I don't get it, but I just guess it wasn't our year." So right now, there's a lot of question marks, a lot of people scratching their head, wondering what in the world happened, what was the adjustment, or what really took place during that whole time. I mean, Kyle Busch was even talking at one point. He had a vibration that started in the right front. He wasn't sure what was going on, if he was about to lose a tire or if they didn't have the lug nuts on tight enough. That was one thing that kind of scared him, but then that vibration kind of went away. So it was one of these things of dance. You're taking a chance on it, what's going to happen, and this is what happened. And for Joey Logano, it knocked him out of the championship run.
Frustrating day for Logano. After the race, an expensive set of words for Bubba Wallace. Take us into that, and Bubba not knowing when to keep his mouth shut, I guess.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm just really shocked by this. He came right out and he said, you know, I spun on purpose. I spun on purpose. You know, hey, he said, Brad, Joey, they both done it before. I mean, that's really taken a lot of, well, how can I say this? Balls to really say that and come right out and point the finger at Brad Keselowski and Joey Logano. But, you know, for you to go and do this and you spin out, or you just spin out on purpose, you know, that really wasn't a bright thing on Bubba Wallace's part. And Dale Jarrett, one of the most experienced drivers, and of course he's a commentator now with NBC, he does a lot of their post-race stuff, and he also handles some other things on some other shows. He talked about it. He said, Bubba, the main thing you should have done more than anything else was keep your mouth shut. And I agree wholeheartedly. This is one of those things, even going back to the point of you throw something out the window. They've had a caution come out before because somebody threw something out the window or something went out the window. Did somebody throw it out? Well, in one case, Robbie Gordon did years ago. He threw some gloves out the window. And he had another set of gloves inside the car, but he threw gloves out the window, and down the track they went, and then they called the caution to breathe. That's what they thought it was. Then it came up. It was gloves on the track. He would have been best taking something else, a piece of foam, something else out of the car, and then coming up with a way to be able to do this. I'm not saying it's never been done before, because by him saying that, by Bubba Wallace saying he did it intentionally and then putting the finger on Brad Keselowski and Joey Logano, that just tells me there's other people involved in this whole thing, and they've done it before just to be able to kind of change the way things were going. But Bubba Wallace had nothing to gain by this. So now the question is, who told him or who gave him the idea that, you know, maybe it's good for you to spin out here and, you know, at least mess something up for the race? And who did it mess up? One of his fellow Chevrolet drivers in Kyle Larson. And Kyle Larson says, you know, I'm really not upset now about it, but I'm sure Kyle Larson was very peeved over the entire situation when he found out that Bubba Wallace said he did intentionally spin out.
Yeah, odd situation there, no question. So let's look back at Homestead. We got our championship four set. It kind of reminds me, I'm thinking through this, three members of Joe Gibbs Racing, and we got one Stuart Haas. You know, all the teams that are out there, and it feels like a sort of a dominant situation, obviously, for JGR. Kind of reminds me, I'm a basketball guy, too. There was a Final Four back in the 80s, maybe it was 83 or 84, where the Big East had three teams in, and there was one other school in there. It feels kind of like it's the JGR Final Four here, the Championship Four. looking at Homestead, looking at this roster of guys in the championship four, who has run here well traditionally, and maybe who do you think maybe has the advantage here in this final race?
Well, I think right now, if you go in the fact of momentum, Denny Hamlin definitely has it going his way, because after this big race at Phoenix, this was one of those career races for him, like Daytona was. Phoenix was the one that determined he's not just flash in the pan to me. I don't think he was just flash in the pan to be able to win Daytona and a couple other races this year and then get into Phoenix and then put himself into the championship contention. I think that that's just the mark of somebody who has, as he said earlier, has changed the way that he drives the car, the way that he approaches driving the car. Martin Truex is another one, because Martin Truex has ran really well at that track before, and of course he won his championship there too. But we need to go back and look a little bit. Denny Hamlin raced well at Homestead before, and here's another reason. He raced well, and he had a chance at winning the championship here several years ago, but he got beat out by Jimmy Johnson. And Jimmy Johnson knows that track really well, and that's what cost Denny Hamlin a chance at winning his first ever championship under the Joe Gibbs banner. So you've got two drivers there that are one, in Hamlin's case, is going to be hungry to try to prove what he can do at Homestead based upon previous experience. Then you've got Martin Truex also. Kyle Busch, he's ran well there before too. He won a championship also the same way there at Homestead. I pick him to be in contention, but you don't rule out Kevin Harvick. I think Kevin Harvick is probably the one that's a little bit more experienced about the whole thing, and I believe he's probably going to have some ringers to throw into the whole situation and see what he can come up with. I mean, it would be a big jump for Stewart Haas to be able to pull off a championship this year with Kevin Harvick being the lone Ford out of that. I mean, this is a championship that has no Chevrolets. It has Toyota and it has Ford, and you got to really say that right now with those three cars from Joe Gibbs Racing, they're going to have the advantage. They're going to probably at least try to, at one point or another, work together what they can before at least maybe 50 or 75 laps left to go in the race, and then it's going to be every man for themselves. If they can go and hold up there in the front three and try to at least have some control of that race, it'll be dished out between those three. And then at the end, I think probably you're going to have a Denny Hamlin come out on top, and it could probably cause some bad blood for these drivers being all under the same roof. But Joe Gibbs manages some way, somehow, to get these guys to all get along under the same roof and put together a consistent race team year in and year out.
I thought I'd mention, I just got a press release literally as we're wrapping up our podcast here from NBC Sports, and so I thought I'd pass this on. NBC Sports announced that they're going to be doing, again, a multi-network coverage of the championship race this weekend, Sunday at 3 o'clock, of course, when it starts. NBC, NBCSN, the NBCSports.com, and the NBC Sports app. And the neat thing they're going to do is the Hot Pass telecast on NBCSN will offer simultaneous live coverage, hyper-focused on each of the championship four drivers. So what they're going to do, the multi-window telecast will provide viewers with isolated, in-depth looks at Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, Kevin Harvick, Martin Truex Jr. And so you get I guess you get that special kind of inside look, depending on who you want to follow, of each of those four drivers. I think that's a neat thing. I mean, what a great opportunity for NASCAR fans to kind of be able to follow either their favorite guy or maybe just go back and forth between each of the four and get a feel for strategy, etc., for each of those four championship four drivers.
Yeah, I think you're going to be able to see. I think what's going to be so neat about that is you're going to be able to sit right there as though you're in the cockpit yourself. And you're going to see exactly what they're seeing with their camera and everything else of how things are going by there at Homestead. But you're going to get an idea of what these drivers are going to be up against. And I think one of the best shots this past weekend at Phoenix was when they had the camera on Denny Hamlin. And when the incident happened of where the restart had to take place and they called the caution out, he started banging on the steering wheel as hard as he could. He was mad. He was upset. And then at that point, that's when they got there and they said to him, hey, calm down. Let's get ready. Let's see what we can do. So you're going to have that audio. You're going to have the video there together. And then you're going to be able to watch the race as a whole. So you can pick whoever you want to watch there at Miami Homestead at that racetrack, and you're going to see who is going to actually come home with the trophy this time around. And I tell you, it will be some great coverage. NBC has had some of the best coverage, I think, this year as opposed to years past. They just get down to it. I like Fox, but at the same time, I think Fox is just a little bit too fun buddy kind of thing and patting each other on the back, so to speak. But these guys actually get down to it. I mean, when you've got Steve Letarte, you've got Dale Earnhardt Jr., you've got Jeff Burton, these guys know what it's like either being a car or to crew chief a car. They're going to tell you things. But I'll tell you, we learned something yesterday about Steve Letarte that I never expected. Steve Letarte really jumped on the strategy by Denny Hamlin there toward the end. Instead of taking on four tires, he only took on two. He said he didn't think that Denny Hamlin would be able to hold out in the race. And what did Denny Hamlin do? He actually ran away from the rest of the pack. So that just goes to show you that even though sometimes you're one of the most experienced crew chiefs out there, you might not know what you're doing until you make a call like that. And then it can either make you or it can break you in this kind of situation. So the NBC coverage will be really good, I'm sure, this weekend.
Yeah, maybe here – I'm thinking through my strategy here. I'm thinking maybe the big TV, the iPad, my laptop computer, maybe my phone. And if I can get an aerial antenna, like if they still – you know, if that still picks up a signal. There all these different ways. You can see a different screen in all those devices. That might be the way to watch this one. Well, Rod, thank you for your time, and we'll catch up with you next week and kind of wrap all this up.
All right. Thank you, Chris.